What does it mean to be free? To be free is to be at one's own disposal. Here in America, we take that a great deal for granted, because there are many places that one is not at their own disposal. And they are helped by regulations. They are helped by governments, by systems, even by religions, whereby they do not have that freedom. But that in itself is not to understand freedom. Let's take it on that's an individual case. A person that would base their freedom on that thought alone would not have truly found freedom. Let's take freedom then, on the other hand, on the national or political sense. To be free is for a people to be self-governed. That is to say, such as the republic which we have in this nation. You're supposed to exercise your vote, whereby those things or that candidate that you might think is most qualified. Sometimes it seems the choice gets a little slim in our own opinion, but that's still self-governing. That's a freedom, and we enjoy that freedom in this great nation. We enjoy it basically. This, you still have not really found freedom. To have true freedom, you must also have peace of mind. So in your quest for peace of mind, these things are a part of that. But they are not the all-inclusive answer. Number one, as an individual, to be at your own disposal, is to do what you want to do. And number two, to be in a nation where the people rule. But always bear in mind, as we go down the road, we are expecting someone, and he is a king. And after that king arrives, we do not necessarily have self-rule or to be self-governed. And yet, in a sense, we do. And only a Christian can understand that. Why? Because we're one body. And that system is held together by the strongest force that God ever allowed. And that force is love. When you really love someone, you agree in most things. And those things that you cannot agree in, you work out. And so it is with our Father. We love Him so much. Therefore, we find His governing to our betterment, and our love holds us to that. But there are other freedoms that must fit into this puzzle. Open your Bibles, if you would. We must always go to the Scripture to find the absolute. Open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. And we're going to change microphones. And let's search out a few freedoms, because through this freedom, you acquire independence. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, Titus being a Gentile, I went up by revelation. What does that mean? God asked him to go there. God told him to go there. That's what it means. And communicated unto them that gospel which I preach, being Paul the speaker, among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. Well, who are these of reputation? Well, they know it all. Okay, they think they know it all. So, actually, it was those that were students and scholars of the law and practiced the law. Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Vain means emptiness or to serve no purpose. And when your ministry acquires that ramification, you're a flop. And unfortunately, when you slip away from the Word of God and become a one-verse Charlie and teach your words rather than the Word of God, you're already a failure, unless you're an evangelist. It's okay for an evangelist to do that because he's not a teacher of God's Word. Verse 3, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." Verse 4, "But that because of false brethren," very interesting word in the Greek, "unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty." Your what? Your liberty, your independence, your freedom, "which we have in Christ Jesus." Now, don't read over that, beloved. I'm going to tell you something. You're very close to the whole truth right there. There's only one liberty. And there's only one freedom. And there's only one place you're going to find it. And in Christ Jesus is the place. "That they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection." No. Not for an hour, not even for a minute, if you would, "that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." We didn't give one inch to them. A man or a woman of God stands up for principle and stands up for the platform and is not afraid to rock a few boats if it becomes necessary to bring forth the gospel. And that is the only way you'll ever have God's blessings. If you're committed to that liberty, love it, hold it, cherish it, even willing to fight for it. Fight for it in a spiritual sense and or otherwise. And you are wise enough to understand what I mean by that. Verse 6. "But of these who? These fakes. These that claim to be God's servants, who seemed to be somewhat..." Ooh, they were super preachers. Really somebody. "Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. I really don't care about them," Paul said. "It doesn't make me any difference whether they call themselves super preachers or not. I could care less. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." They had not one word to say that I could grow or gain by. He learned one thing from them, though. You want to always remember that. Don't listen to them. All right? He did learn that. He said, they're wasting my time. But now I'm digressing, and be that as it may. There will be souls who claim to be servants of God that will rob you, that will twist you, that will turn you by traditions of men and their own sayings, their own writings, their own philosophies. And the simplicity of following Christ is what? Follow His Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Because it is the Word of God that is important, not what some puffy has to say. Not what some blowhard has to say, but what saith our Father. You can be robbed very quickly if you listen to men. "Well, I choose the biggest church and has the most people." The majority have been wrong since the beginning. The majority were in favor or didn't care about the crucifixion of Christ, which of course was God's plan. The majority, including the disciples, abandoned Him at the cross. There is only one foundation, and that is the Word of God. Beware. I don't care if they call themselves Christians of this movement or that movement or this other movement. I love them all. Don't misunderstand. But check them out in the Word of God. This man or any other man. Because as you've all heard me say many times, there's a judgment coming. I'm not going to be between you and God when you're judged. Nor will any other man or woman. You will face God alone based on what is written in this Word. Therefore, study God's Word to show yourself approved. Follow a teacher if you like, but check him out in that Word. A good teacher will never try to foster his own beliefs off on you. He will teach you how to study God's Word for yourself. He will also teach you how to check out Hebrew and Greek and Chaldee and even the Latin if it becomes necessary to understand the Word of God, whereby you stand a student on your own. That is to say, being a free person, you're at your own thoughts, your own way. You're an independent servant of the living God. That is what really studying your Father's Word is about. That's what a church is supposed to be. Never let someone slip in. Because in case some of you haven't heard about it, there's a real Satan. And he walks to and fro spiritually, not actually, upon the earth. And he's that little voice sometimes, not behind every bush, but sometimes, that will say, "Oh, really? Oh, come on. The majority could not be wrong. You want to go with the flow." You see, that's one of his... And Satan, quite frankly, is not opposed to using pulpits. Anyone he can get into. This one, if he could. Others. False brethren slipped in, unaware. Protect your liberty. Your liberty is found in Christ. Christ was quite a gifted speaker. Inasmuch as he was the Son of God, he left you that letter written to you. Grow skilled in it. It is your liberty to seek, search. And by that strongest force in the world, love for him, may it be the force that drives you into protecting that liberty, which is, beloved, very precious. In this nation... And again, how quickly time flies. But in this nation, we have the freedom to do whatever we choose. You know, I would think sometime, I thank God we don't have to. But I have observed sights, such as from a foxhole early in the morning, seeing children that did not have liberty to even go to a hospital, to have wounds, severe wounds, where GIs would have to open their own kits and use medication in the fields on foreign children that were slaves or orphans, perhaps better said, of systems that are very foreign to freedom. We take too much for granted. I thank God that He has given us a platform in a nation that gives us a satellite 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that covers one-third of the earth's surface, and we blast that trumpet 24 hours of each of those days for all it's worth. Teaching what? Mumbo-jumbo? No, the Word of God. That's freedom, my friend, and it's priceless. The freedom that we find in Jesus Christ. Let's turn on to the fifth chapter, if we may, of this book of Galatians. The freedom we're discussing basically in this book of Galatians is freedom from the law. And this fifth chapter of Galatians, I'm going to start reading with verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," or your freedom, "wherewith Christ hath made us free, in Christ, through Christ, by Christ. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't you listen to false brethren who deal with traditions. Why? Well, let's continue. He'll say it better than I can, too. Behold, you look here. I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Christ is not going to pay one whit as to your liberty or your eternal salvation. Circumcision, he could care less. Else it be spiritually of the heart. For I testify, I say this, again, to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, understand, this is a mental thing, not actually a physical. If you mentally say, I'm going to observe this law and that law, and understand, now hear me good, because this is a very confusing thought to most people. Unfortunately, many people just throw the baby right here out with the bathwater. The law is good. The law is the commandment that God said to pass down. That let me even, at the risk of oversimplification, say, if you don't want any trouble, follow this set of rules. It's kind of like the house rules that your mother and dad laid down. Old dad said, now look, we don't do this. And you think, oh, well, I'm going to do it anyway. What happens? Whop! You broke house rules, all right? And you're going to get in trouble. Example, another perhaps oversimplification. The law is done away with. Out of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. The law doesn't exist, and as a good Christian, I like my brother's horse. I'm going to take him. Whop! Here comes the sheriff. And you're looking out between bars and you're saying, Sheriff, you don't understand. Jesus destroyed the law. All right? You got to use a little common sense, in other words. What he's saying is, when you break one of them, if you know and believe in Jesus Christ, you know upon total, complete repentance. And understand that word in the Greek. You can't just say, I did it knowing I could be forgiven. All right? Then you are forgiven for having broken that law, but that does not make the law any less a set of standards to live by. Okay? We got that? Christ, verse 4, is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. If you plan on the law pulling you out of the fire, forget it. All right? That's what he's saying. Ye are fallen from grace. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. You don't merit it when you believe and love Him for the price He paid. He forgives. My friend, that's a liberty. It's liberty from sin. It's liberty from the law. That is to say, in a sense, that when you break it, He paid a price, an awesome price, whereby you can repent and you have that forgiveness. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. I want you to appreciate that word love. Again, the strongest force in the world. You do not oppose bondage that is helped by love, which is your bondage as a servant of Yeshua Messiah Jesus the Christ. 7. Ye did run well. You're doing pretty good. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You let one of those birds in. It works both ways, as well as a little truth will grow when it falls on acceptable and fertile ears. But you let a few of those bad brethren in and turn to the traditions of men that are that tickles the fancy, that is contrary to the Word of God, and you're the loser. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. In other words,
if you really love the Father, you know He's going to take care of it anyway. If somebody bothers you, if you're aware, if you're wise enough to be aware of it in the Lord and turn it over to Him, He'll take care of it. Now, that doesn't mean you're supposed to stand and let somebody beat you in the face. I think all of you know what to do if somebody comes up and starts beating you in the face. If you weren't witnessing to them, that does bear a little different record. If they just come up and start beating you in the face, I think all of you know what to do. All right? The Lord does not expect to do for you what you can do for yourself. All right? And only a fool would allow someone to do him damage in a violent, Satan-controlled world. Christians are not second-class citizens. Verse 11. I might just add one footnote for tender ears, okay? God said to love your children. He said to love your enemies. But in love, there are many things entailed. If one of your children can turn out to kind of act like you did when you were a child, you know, mess up and really pull a good one, we'll say, what do? If you're a good parent, you correct them. It might even be womp or that place that God prepared to womp, all right? Never correct a child when you're angry, of course. Well, you've got to do that to your enemies, too. And if some guy walks up and starts pounding you in the face, he's your enemy, and he needs the two before. That's the only language he understands, and that's the way you begin communication with him. And then tell him you love him. But you know what to do with him, all right? Verse 11, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased?" Mm-mm. "I would they were even cut off which trouble you." I'd rather they weren't even there. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." That's freedom, independence. That's one of the reasons God blesses America, because it was covered by covenant. It's no accident. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." Don't use your liberty to sin. "But by love serve one another." Again, that strongest force in the world. So, beloved, if you listen to your flesh, and if you fall short, now I know none of you do this. I do occasionally. It happens to me. Why, I don't know. But there are occasions when I will sin. If it's eating too much, or if somebody, some jerk pulls out in front of me, you know, and almost causes me to hit the bank or something, I may call him something, you know. I'm not admitting anything. I want you to understand this, all right? You know, it's been a long time since a jerk pulled out in front of me. There's been a few rascals, yeah, but no jerks. But anyway, we have repentance, which gives us freedom. If you would have sinned, because we have an escape through Jesus Christ. But my friends, that is not total freedom yet. We have seen freedom as an individual in the flesh. We have seen freedom nationally. Now we have seen freedom from sin. But you're still not there. There is yet the supreme freedom. And it is one of the reasons that I strive in teaching to simplify that some might call complicated, whereby we can, through common sense, create a marriage with the Word of God, that it flows like honey over the buds of our mind, whereby we can understand that simplicity in which Christ Himself taught. There are things that are difficult to be understood by some, but there is only one true freedom whereby, in absorbing that, accepting it, you have peace of mind, even in the flesh, even in these troubled times. Turn with me to the 8th chapter of St. John. Let's pick it up with verse 23. As we begin this study in the 8th chapter of St. John, I want you to bear in mind those that would rob you of your liberty, who were false brethren. Who are false brethren? Christ mentioned them several times. They are mentioned for your convenience in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Who were they? They were what are called in the Hebrew tongue and written in the good King James, Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Jesus mentioned them in Revelation 2:9 as those that claim to be of our brother Judah and are not and do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan. Kenite in the Hebrew tongue is a word that simply means the sons of Cain. Are they in the world today? Of course they are. It is written in the good King James. And it is necessary that you be aware of the false brethren. There were only, as you will all remember, two churches out of the seven that Christ was pleased with. And quite frankly, it does not take a wise person to know that if you're not in a church that is teaching what is written to the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia, you're in the wrong house. Or at least you're in a house God's not pleased with. Part of that teaching and the one thing that both Smyrna and Philadelphia have in common is to know who the Kenite is that claims to be of Judah. To know and to understand the 10 tribes that went north over the Caucasus Mountains that God made a covenant with and stated they would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. I ask you, where are they? Is your God a liar? Mine isn't. He knows very well where they are. And part of the freedom is entailed in the covenants of the scattering that would be gathered in the end times. So, no one understand. The tribe of Judah, which is to be the ruling king line tribe, naturally the Kenites wanted to call themselves by that title because they wanted to rule both religiously and actually, governmentally, better said. Now, the verses I'm about to read, and the reason I'm going into this, it would give our brother Judah a bad name because of the word Jew, as it is used in this 8th chapter. Believe me, beloved, it is not talking about Judah, but about those, as it is written in Revelation 2:9, that the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia teach, those that claim to be and are not, and do lie, and are of the synagogue of Satan. Slipped in unawares to the majority, but not to you. Okay? Enough said. Verse 23. Christ teaching. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Now, I want to plant a seed in your mind, or at least to ask you to think for a moment. Who is the prince of this world? Satan, of course. He is of this world at this time. Christ is not. Naturally, the Kenites. Who are they? Well, Christ will tell us in a moment. Naturally, we know through Cain. Verse 24. I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Incidentally, you know what they're trying to do, don't you? They're going to kill him. Right? That's what they want to do. Nice people. Good churchgoers. They want to kill Messiah. That ye shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. You're not going to have any freedom from those sins. 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Now, beloved, be mature. Do you think the beginning of what this conversation started or the beginning of the beginning? Think for a moment. Ephesians 1, verse 4. I chose you before the foundations of this earth. The Greek verb kebo, Satan's overthrow. The prince of this earth's overthrow. You cannot have true liberty unless you take the blinders that man would place upon you and understand the three world ages. Same old world. But as Peter adequately brings forth in 2 Peter chapter 3, There are three earth ages. What happened in the beginning there is very important. Satan fell. 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not what he spake to them of the Father. They did not believe him. They had other dogma stuck in their minds. And they could not come to the truth of the scriptures of both Isaiah, of the minor prophets, that promised a virgin shall conceive, and a son shall be born, and that he was, dated from the book of Daniel, actually to the year his birth came to pass. They did not understand the Word of God. Why? They didn't study the Word of God. They studied rather the sayings of men. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, that means when you've crucified him, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I'm not just talking as a man. I'm speaking the words of God. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. This was God in person in the office of Savior. What does Yeshua mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means Yahweh's Savior. And within that you see the office of Messiah, the Anointed. Now sharpen up for me. You're going to learn what true liberty is here in just a moment. And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you will stay with the word of God, then are you my disciples indeed. 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My friend, that's the only liberty. That is the only true independence there is in this world. And that is the truth of the living God. You have it all in one nutshell. You can have your personal absolve to do as you choose, and you can live in a government that is a wonderful nation that is blessed, yes. And you can have freedom from law through mercy and grace. But there is only one true total freedom. And that is to know the truth of God's word, and it shall set you free by the covenant of love that was instilled by our Heavenly Father even before the foundations of this earth, opening those promises to you that would claim them and understand them. In the gospel armor, what is it that holds your britches up? What is it that holds you all together? Your belt, your girt, is the truth. There is no other truth other than the word that God has sent. Not a chapter here or a verse here or a verse there, but the overall plan of salvation from the book of Genesis, woven throughout God's plan to Revelation, giving you, in to oversimplify even as to which church you should either form or study with or start with, for those that know the truth, whereby there is no anxiety in your mind as to what you're doing. It doesn't mean that we can't walk into any church we want to, but you as an individual are free. And I do not, for the sake of young people, wish to insist or have it sound that I'm saying churches are bad. God bless them. They keep the morals of this nation where they are. But the subject is liberty. For even in many churches, they will put chains on you. Chains of divorcement. Chains here. Chains there. Until you can hardly move. They'll even make second-class citizens out of you if you allow them. Why? They don't really understand the truth that Christ can forgive any sin but one. Divorce doesn't happen to be that sin. Oh, but brother, you don't understand. Jesus said that if you've been married and you remarry, you're an adulteress. But he didn't say anything about if that person repented, what they would be. Now, you as a student of God's Word tells me what the Word truly says about it. I'm using this as an example, all right? The Word says, our Father says, if I forgive you a sin, and that could even be a bad marriage, or what is adultery. He said, I don't want to hear about it again. But many churches like to hear it over and over and over before the congregation. Come up and confess and give us the bad stuff first, will you? Okay. God said, I don't want to hear it. Do you know why? If God forgives and you bring it up, let's get this down and put some legs on it. You have a child, and that child dented the fender on your car, and for heaven's sakes, for 3 weeks running, he runs up and he says, Daddy, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Son, it's all right. Hey, got it taken care of. You're going to be working 24 hours a day a while to get the bill paid, but it's gone. Everything is fine, and I forgive you. And the kid runs up and says, oh, Daddy, oh, God, I feel so bad. And pretty soon the old man's going to say, hey, I'm tired of hearing that stuff. I told you I forgave you. Now, are you calling me a liar? Our Heavenly Father is no different. It is a sin, and a severe sin, to ask forgiveness of something and know He has done it and bring it up again. He doesn't like it. It accuses him of being weak. And the most precious thing that Christianity has is the liberty, the true liberty from sin on honest repentance. See what I'm saying? The truth, all told, sets us free. Now, some of the deeper truths are entailed within the verses we have read from the beginning. And these that are coming up, let's analyze what they say. He says, hey, learn the truth, and the truth will give you full independence, full liberty. It will make you free. 33. They answered him, wait a minute. We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You've got to understand, this Greek word free is used in the Greek law as a legal term that means slavery, all right, or to be free of slavery. And naturally, that's why they would ask that conclusion, or would come to that conclusion. Now, verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. In other words, the Son is what again? Yeshua. Yahweh, Savior. Almighty God's Savior, using the sacred name. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Why? He had that authority, that power. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Now again, I must hesitate to say, do you know what the word Abraham means in the Hebrew tongue? Because you're not going to understand this if you don't. The father of many nations, meaning the father of all children. You got it? Spiritually speaking, it wouldn't matter if they were sons of Cain. He is still their father, for God covenanted Abraham that he would. And that's what the name Abraham means. Father of many nations, and that he would be a blessing to them. Yes, even the Kenite that would believe upon Yeshua. But ye seek to kill me. He said, we've got a little problem here, friends. You seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. What word? The truth. God's word. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Note the capital F. And ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Who is their father? The prince of this world. Small f. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. I won't go into the ramifications of that, but you all know what they would have been saying through the genealogy or the key of David. Ye have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceedeth forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Question. Even because you cannot hear my word. They did not have ears to hear. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Whoa, now wait a minute. You're all intelligent people. You're all great Bible students. Who was the first murderer? Who was it? Tell me. Somebody tell me. Who was Cain? Of course. Doesn't our Sunday school children know that, right? And so do you. You know who that murderer was in the beginning and who his children are. And abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Incidentally, what is it that this truth does? It sets you free. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, that truth that will give you liberty, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? I mean, he was teaching the word of God. They were planning and plotting a murder. And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And beloved, their only hope was standing right before them. For even he, through the millennium, will teach many that were blinded. As it is written in Romans 11, God hath sent upon them the spirit of slumber in the English. The Greek word is stupa. They're awake. They're just in a stupor. They cannot learn the full truth that sets them free because of the event that's about to happen. That is written, instead of Christ shall set foot upon this earth, as you well know. The truth has set you free from any anxiety and has delivered you from the hour of temptation, because you're not going to be tempted. You know who he is. He is an abomination to your mind, thoughts, body, and soul. And you are a student of the Word. And the truth has set you free indeed. Not freedom as an individual, not just freedom of our nation, but free from the anxiety of the world conditions of the world that was, this one, and the one that's coming. World ages, more correctly said, cosmos. How precious. You know, this is one of the reasons that I enjoy once a month going out and bringing these documentaries to the people. To document that this earth is millions of years old, and the good old King James declares it. It's just that most people don't understand. There is no conflict with the Word of God and accurate science. And to bring forth these dinosaur tracks that are perfect. To bring forth, even if you would, from a high mountaintop in Arizona 2 weeks ago, palm trees, stumps petrified and sticking that far above a bed of solid rock that's the hardest I think I've ever seen. It looked like it was mud that just turned to solid rock. All petrified with fern leaves, deer tracks, three-toed sloths on top of a mountain in Arizona. You understand what I'm telling you? Nobody planted that palm tree there except God himself in the natural order of things. There's more to it. But searching out those truths to bring that truth that God has been in control all along. And when God says, I chose certain people before the overthrow of Satan, the Kabil in the Greek, the foundation in the English, even Christ's own teachings in Matthew chapter 13, where he says, I speak in parables because these things were to be kept secret from the foundations of the world. Speaking of the parable of the tares, which is to say the evil man planted his seed, which was the devil, in the earth, and the angels will harvest them. That word in the Greek is also kabil in Matthew 13. How beautiful our Father's word. In closing, as we go to John 16, let's turn there. There are so many scriptures that come to mind that I could use, but I want to close this with Christ died on the cross for us that someone could come. Chapter 16, verse 7, I would recommend that on this same thought you take it from verse 1 later. Nevertheless, verse 7, chapter 16, St. John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. What is the truth? It's your girt. It's what holds you together and gives you liberty. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And through that, the Holy Spirit is able to open eyes to the truth, to unlock the key of David, that is to say, in the lock of the Scriptures for those that care. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. And that seems to fare more so as mindset continues in this nation and the world. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, listen carefully, because the prince of this world is judged. God utilizes his servants to keep the gospel fresh as it is written, not as some man might deem. And there is from whence God's blessings flow. The truth, liberty, independence. For there is a thief, a robber, that lurks. And I don't want to make this sound super spiritual. For he is very real. And for every negative, there is a positive. The Holy Spirit has access, this one he speaks of, to this world today. So does the evil spirit. But he himself shall be cast from heaven in person, de facto. But his spirit does lurk on this earth, and the weak are robbed. Robbed of what? The truth. Well, what does that mean? Their liberty, their independence. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. You are just not mentally ready. But there is the generation of the fig tree. It's now. And minds are opening. And the Spirit touches and makes known. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, now I must question you again, what is this truth? This truth is what sets you free. The Holy Spirit is that Spirit of truth that solidifies your foundation, leads, guides, and makes you know truth when you hear it, is come. He will guide you into all truth. How much of it? All of it. Does any man know everything? Uh-uh. But the Holy Spirit does, and he's our advocate. You know what an advocate is? That in the Greek, that's a legal term, meaning he's our lawyer and much more. If you get in trouble, he can get you out of it, right? If your heart is right. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I'm going to stop there, because it is truth that brings you true liberty. Learn the truth, and the truth will set you free indeed. There is no other freedom. There is no other independence. Oh, listen. I'm not pulling away from the love of this great nation and the rights and the blessings that God gives us the children scattered in this great nation. That provides a platform for the teaching of the gospel to the whole world. And I'm not saying from this church only, from all churches that teach truth. To let this world know there's a second advent coming soon. And there's only one thing that will set you free from he that lurks in the night and the day. Traditions of men he utilizes to deceive, and the great deception is upon us. See that you don't become a part of it. There's only one thing that will keep you separated from it totally and completely and with joy. And that's the truth, the Word, the living Word, the Word that was with God in the beginning. Had we continued on in St. John chapter 8, Jesus would have made it clear to those that claim to be of Judah by saying, well, you're not even hardly 30 years old, and here you claim you know this, that, and that. He said, hey, before Abraham was, I am the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, that moved upon the earth, was there. Your true freedom comes from the truth of the three world ages, all of God's Word, showing you the plan that God had in the beginning of salvation and how He loves His children and how He corrects them. Freedom. There's only one place you'll find it, beloved, and it's so simple that so many overlook it. The truth gives you full freedom. Truth in who? Truth in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written Word. We thank you, Father, for this nation, these Americas, Father, this hemisphere. We thank you for the platform that thou hast given this family that has spread over the world, Father. And we thank you for that truth. We ask more, Father. Father, it is always a pleasure to be a servant of thine. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.